Isn't this a sports show?
People are tuning in because I've been like, I'm starting a show. Here's how you can listen to it. And like, well, the app doesn't work. And also, your whole show's about napkins so far?
Almost entirely.
I want you to get to see some sports radio sausage being made. Gross.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't know how long this era is going to be of the, what I think will be known as the Almost Entirely Sports era. Maybe this will be 2,000 years. Maybe it'll be 20 days.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I just yawned into the microphone. Is that good? Is that good radio?
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I have my headphones over my ears again. I just hear my own sweet, sweet voice. And that's that good stuff.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Happy Halloween!
Boo!
It's been a very spooky day in the NFL. The trade deadline spurred on a lot of action right before the deadline that came through about an hour ago now, but there's still some news breaking even as we speak about a trade that did not go through. We're going to talk about a lot of NFL action very soon. I'm currently distracted by ESPN in front of me because Around the Horn is on, and currently the panel is Air Bud, The Rock, LeVar Ball, and Ben McAdoo. So that's distracting. I'm having a hard time keeping... They're all very good costumes, by the way. They really, like, I would have known them all before I saw them, except for Air Bud. Air Bud was a little bit of a reach. Do you see it now, Beards?
Yeah, I've got it now.
It's really good. All of them are really good. As you can see on the Facebook Live, I am wearing my very spooky skeleton shirt. And Beards is dressed up as a sports fan.
The poor, broke college student.
Also fair and true.
I will say real quick, though, probably my favorite Around the Horn one I remember is Wilbon as Derrick Rose with the mask and, like, a broken face.
That's funny.
It was really good.
It's probably PTI, because that's Wilbon's show.
That's true.
Your sports fan costume is falling apart at the seams, Beards.
You know, PTI, Around the Horn, they're on one after the other.
Sure, that's good knowledge that you've brought to us. I don't have any Halloween plans tonight, which is kind of sad because I kind of wanted to, but I'm probably just going to sit at my house and watch the last, like, six episodes of Stranger Things and eat candy. Which
not a terrible idea.
It's not a terrible idea. But I feel like most, like, adults see most, like, young adults at least, sort of see Halloween as a really great, like, party holiday for obvious reasons. And I'm not using any of that to my advantage tonight. But you know who did party last night? The Chiefs defense. Am I right?
Woo!
There's a segue. Listen. I'm not going to pretend that segue was perfect. But we are actually going to talk about the Chiefs and Broncos before we get into all of the stuff going around the NFL. Although it's super interesting, we'll get to it a little bit later on. We have 90 minutes today instead of our typical 2 hours. So slightly truncated, but no less thrilling, I'm sure. The Chiefs beat the Broncos last night 29-19 in a final score that looked a whole lot better than the game did. And Twitter looked a whole lot worse than the game did. There's a lot of pessimism seeping through the cracks on Twitter last night. And I've done the work for you here. Should you be happy? Should you be sad? Should you be afraid or concerned? I have done the math. I've made a pros and cons list from last night. Lots of things went very well. Lots of things didn't go so great. And the Chiefs ended up beating a division rival by 10 points. I can live with that. I was surprised that the Broncos ended up putting up 19. I'm also a little bit surprised the Chiefs ended up putting up 29. They also put up 29 almost entirely with field goals. And Marcus Peters. It wasn't exactly the type of offensive production that I really like to hang my hat on whenever I think about how good this team's offense can be. Offensively, it was Travis Kelce and Harrison Butker And Marcus Peters, truthfully. Currently on Around the Horn, LeVar Ball has negative 41 points.
Undefeated.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Never lost.
Lonzo, never lose again.
Against non-Phoenix Sun teams, he's only averaging like 5-some points per game, for reference.
I know. You're right. That's true.
Against Phoenix Suns teams, he's averaging 29, I think.
But last night, I think you have to have more good feelings to take away from last night's game than bad. I think you've got to be happy that they won a game they simply had to win, even though it mostly came off of the leg of their kicker. Are you okay, Beards?
I'm still coughing.
Okay. It looked like you were cursing, honestly. I thought you were yelling at something. You're just coughing. Okay, great. If the Chiefs would have lost last night, we would have come in here today with torches and pitchforks. We would have come in here today talking about how the AFC is a two-horse race and the Chiefs are on that same level as the Jags and the Titans and the Texans. And now it looks more like the last 2 weeks with the Chiefs playing a couple of good AFC rivals that ended up getting the better of them. And then they put up another pretty meh game at home on Monday Night Football against the Broncos, and it was enough. So I think, as a whole, you can at least start out optimistic and positive about last night's game. I always am also here to criticize even the good performances, so I absolutely will take the time to criticize and try to make some things better that need to be improved on. But I want to put down a primer first of it's okay. Everything is fine. Last night was fine, and it was a win, and it counts. And it wasn't terrible, and a lot of the struggles that we saw make sense.
But Tyreek Hill threw an interception. It doesn't count.
That one was bad. That was not great. I am always a proponent of getting the ball in Tyreek Hill's hands more often.
Is that what you had in mind, him playing quarterback and throwing it left-handed?
It's not exactly what I had in mind. Although we did find out last night that Tyreek Hill's left-handed. Didn't look like it, but it's apparently true. So here, I want to put down that primer coat, that base level of good news. And then we'll talk about some of the things that might leave you a little bit pessimistic. I'm also yawning a lot today, and I don't know why. The main thing, and the prophecy from yesterday's show that came true immediately yesterday was when we talked about how the Chiefs defense was super lucky with turnovers and turnovers turning into points last year and had been unlucky this year. I told you that would eventually level out, and it did last night. Trevor Siemian was exactly what the doctor ordered. And right out of the gate, Marcus Peters took a Jamal Charles fumble back to the house. It worked out. The leveling came through. Got the fumble 6, the interceptions, 5 total turnovers. That was a huge win for the Chiefs yesterday. I'm also weirdly distracted still by ESPN because they're showing Halloween costumes of years past, and it's really hard to focus. But now they're in a commercial, so it's okay. We're back now. The turnover thing leveled out just like we thought it would. It happened all at once last night. Good on the Chiefs. Second thing that you should be optimistic about, that you should just take as one of these pieces that make you feel good about last night. Marcus Peters is exactly who we thought he was, and if you wanted him benched or cut or traded at any point this year, I genuinely hope that you feel bad.
I hope that you feel silly. I hope that you feel dumb. I hope that you feel upset with yourself. I hope that you repent. If you repent publicly on Twitter, I offered this last night on the post-game show that I did on an ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. If you openly repent for your sins, for wanting Marcus Peters cut or traded or whatever, I will mock you, but I will give you forgiveness. Also, Mitchell Schwartz completely consumed Von Miller last night. He had a couple of times that I remember noticing him, but Mitchell Schwartz won that head-to-head battle. Justin Houston was really good last night. He rushed on the majority of Trevor Siemian's dropbacks, the vast majority. I think it was something like 18 of 20 in the first half. I didn't see a final tally. But Houston was getting after Siemian. He pulled down two sacks, and he was being disruptive for a large portion of the game. Justin Houston looked good. Maybe the biggest thing that you can take away from the game last night, only tainted by the existence of Trevor Siemian, the Chiefs secondary looked much, much better with Steven Nelson and also Kenneth Acker. Kenneth Acker started over Terrence Mitchell. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Steven Nelson back in this lineup, he made himself known in the first drive. I think he had two plays out of the first three where he was targeted and he broke it up. He is a huge addition, as we've been saying for weeks now, a huge addition to the secondary. Felt really good about Steven Nelson being brought back into the mix. Travis Kelce was an animal. He ended up with exactly half of Alex Smith's completions. Alex Smith had 14 completions, 7 of them went to Travis Kelce. Alex Smith threw for 202 yards. 133 of those went to Travis Kelce. Kelce averaged 19 yards per reception. And his long was a 33-yarder, so he was not terribly skewed. He was getting the ball and getting the ball at good depth and doing good things with the ball after he caught it. Really good game for Travis Kelce. Harrison Butker is apparently automatic now. He was unemployed like a month ago, and now he looks like the most consistent kicker in football. That's all I have to say. That's all the analysis I have, but thank you, Harrison Butker. The Broncos have allowed 29 or more points 6 times since 2015. 4 of those have been at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a good look for the Chiefs against the Broncos. Mitch Morse came back at center. Zach Fulton moved over to the right guard, as I expected them to. And something I thought was interesting, they ran that little shovel pass play, the triple option shovel pass where Smith will fake a handoff to somebody and then he also has an option to run it, or and then he ultimately shovel passes to Travis Kelce, who takes it up the gut. I mentioned over the last 2 weeks there were short yard situations in which I really wanted to see that brought out of the playbook to help the Chiefs pick up a short yardage, third and something. Well, this wasn't in a high leverage short yard situation this week, but they did run it. Why does that matter? We didn't see that one time in the last 2 weeks. But whenever Morse is back and Fulton goes to right guard, then that middle shovel thing comes back. That is not a coincidence. I don't think that the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Andy Heck, any of those guys, I don't think any of them trusted the offensive line to pull off that play whenever it was Fulton and Cam Irving, because that requires a lot of up the middle push. So that came back. That's nice. Final takeaway from the pro side, as I'm hopefully not leaving anything out. The AFC West is over. It's done. The Chiefs won it. They've already got their first 3 wins against the AFC West this season. They're 6-2 over 3 teams with 3 wins each. They're running laps around every other offense in this division. They have a better defense than Oakland, the only team that's anywhere near them by terms of points scored. The Chiefs have won the AFC West. Especially looking at the schedule to come. We've talked about this several times. We'll do it some more later. At the Cowboys, at the Giants, versus the Bills, at the Jets, versus the Raiders, versus the Chargers, versus the Dolphins, at the Broncos. The Cowboys have a chance, and the Bills have a chance to be playoff teams. No one else does. From here on out, in the second 8 games of the season the Chiefs will play, they will face 2 potential playoff teams, and I'm guessing that the Bills won't make it happen. And the Cowboys are going to have to be a wild card team because the Eagles don't stop winning. The Chiefs have won the AFC West. You can do a little party popper. I know that I, as much as anyone, is hesitant to be optimistic whenever there's a perfectly good glass of cynicism sitting right there. But the Chiefs have won the AFC West. Put a bow on it. But there were things from last night that did bother me. Also, there's a fake Joel Embiid currently accosting fake LeVar Ball on around the horn. Fake LeVar Ball has negative 76 points and has been frozen in carbonate. I thought our show was weird. Did you hear the sentence I just said? I envy their show's weirdness. That's amazing that I just said that. But so there were several things from last night that I, as I watched, I kind of just gulped and wasn't a huge fan of. Like the fact that the Chiefs had 77 yards of offense in the second half. Throughout the first 5 weeks of the season, the Chiefs were a better second half team than a first half team. They were a better fourth quarter team than a third quarter team. And last night, against a very good... Oh, Joel Embiid has taken over LeVar Ball's window now. Is someone playing LeVar... Or is someone playing Joel Embiid currently? Man, I... The narrative in this show is so much more interesting than the actual sports debates they're having. Because you have to update. Just bust in with an update at some point. I am going to ignore the TV. Now, your job to watch around the horn and then report in. Oh, Dwayne Johnson has now become The Rock. His shirt is off. Ezra Gutierrez has his shirt off, and he has the big fake tattoo.
And he's kind of pulling it off.
Yeah. He looked like a skinnier The Rock. But it worked. He has elbow pads on now, it looked like. You can't see the fake Joel Embiid's face because he's too tall for the window. I think it might be Clinton Yates. It's hard to tell by just his chin. That's amazing. I'm so sorry for whoever's listening to this later. This is a very unfocused show. So that Around the Horn has like narrative development right now. It's amazing. But the Chiefs last night had 77 yards of offense in the second half. A second half team got completely stepped on by a very, very good defense. I don't want to undercut how good the Broncos defense has been this year. They've been really good. They've got a lot of talent there, and they had Shane Ray back and everything. But also, Alex Smith had his worst game of the year. The passing game minus Travis Kelce was not good. The Chiefs' run game never got going. It was the first game in his career that Kareem Hunt didn't get to 100 total yards from scrimmage. The Andy Reid red zone play calling was not good. It had the Tyreek Hill interception, the Ross Travis third and goal target the other time they were in the red zone down there. D Ford was hurt. Albert Wilson was hurt. We didn't hear from DeMarcus Robinson, one catch for 5 yards. The Chiefs' run defense was no good. There were plenty of things that could concern you from last night's game. For me, the concern is relatively limited, I would say, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to face another defense that good again this year until they play the Broncos again. Certainly, I don't expect the Steelers or Patriots. The only other, really, it's always going to be about the Steelers and the Patriots. And I don't see either of those two teams putting up any sort of defensive standing that the Broncos did last night. So I will perpetually have my concerns about what Alex Smith looks like in the playoffs, about what this offense is going to look like in the playoffs. But I'm certainly not panicking today because a really good defense gave a really good offense some trouble. That's generally how it works. The offense only put up one touchdown. That's frustrating. They also had five field goals, and Marcus Peters made 7 points of his own. So, okay. I get it. I get the concern. I'm not sure if you see this kind of performance next week. It's going to be good enough to beat the Cowboys. But I also don't think that the Cowboys are going to be able to stay in any sort of defensive company with what the Broncos just did. So I'm only slightly worried, I guess I could say, about what the offense did last night. If you're listening now and you have any thoughts on what you saw, you can always tweet me at JB Briscoe or put a comment in the Facebook Live comment section. The Chiefs made a couple of interesting moves last night, including starting Kenneth Acker over Terrence Mitchell, and the NFL has been crazy this week. I also want to talk about the fact that John Elway has been a really terrible evaluator of quarterbacks. We'll talk about all that next.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I have no idea when I said that. But also, bringing it out on Halloween is actually a really good move, because that's like, that's the whole point of Halloween at this point, right? Pushing the boundaries of acceptable sluttiness? When did I say that?
I don't remember. I just remembered that I had to use that for something.
Israel Gutierrez on Around the Horn is now The Rock's character from Moana with a big curly wig. Okay, so a couple of things real quick here. First, from the live stream on Facebook. Well, I was going to go to the live stream from Facebook, and then the page went away. So,
do you need the comment?
I would like it, please.
Okay. Is it Thomas's comment?
Ah, there are two comments now. Nope, and I'm here, we're good.
Yay.
Yeah, Thomas said, have you seen that people are still complaining about Peter's play style? Blows my mind. Yeah, so listen. I know Marcus Peters is not a good tackler. I get it. I've seen it. Seren tweeted out a video earlier today or last night. I can't remember. Just being like, well, Marcus Peters isn't really interested in tackling anybody. And he was right. He's not. In fact, Deion Sanders quote tweeted that with, I think he said, Lord Jesus, LOL.
Something like that. It also made it to Bleacher Report's page. So
did it really?
Yeah.
Look at Saran hitting,
well,
that.
Well, Deion's tweet made it to Bleacher Report.
But it's Saran's video.
Was just dragged along with it.
Right. That counts, man. Do you have any, we would do a whole show on that if Deion Sanders retweeted
If one of your tweets got to Bleacher Report, oh yeah.
A whole show.
A whole week.
Okay, now costume update. I don't know who Michael Wilbon is. Tony Kornheiser is Clayton Kershaw, and that's hilarious. Not Kershaw.
Nope.
No.
Justin
no.
Turner.
Damn it. How did you know that? I cannot figure out who Wilbon is.
I don't know either.
Check Twitter. Find out on Twitter what people are saying about Wilbon's costume, please. Kornheiser's beard just fell into his mouth as he was talking.
I've got a fake beard like that at home. It's just a big black one.
Why didn't you wear that today?
I thought about it, but when I've got like my actual beard, they really don't work well together.
It would have been hilarious.
It is the worst.
You could have been a beard for Halloween.
I know. I really did think about it. I actually need to find that. I don't know quite where it is.
Oh, man. What a missed opportunity.
It's really great, though, because like the black beard with my red hair.
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
No, it's great.
It would have been awesome. And you blew it. Anyway, the video that Shrimp put out was very funny. Dion's response is very funny. But we also all know who he is, right? We all know who Marcus Peters is. He's not going to make a big tackle. Although he had a couple of one-on-one tackles. I saw one earlier in the game. Actually, it might have only been once because he was only completed on once or twice. Oh, he's Cam Newton.
Is that who he is?
Yeah, he's being Cam Newton.
Oh, he's got the beard dyed green a little bit too at
you're
the bottom.
Right. I think it's blonde. But
blonde,
okay.
Green. This TV looks green.
All right. All right, I'm not going to be as distracted by that as I was during Around the Horn. I apologize for this terrible hour of broadcasting that we're doing.
I blame ESPN.
Me too.
Not ESPN Radio, though. Or
no.
ESPN Kansas City.
ESPN Television. Yes, people are still complaining about Marcus Peters, and it's never going to change. People don't like his attitude. The same thing's going to happen with Travis Kelce. Last night I tweeted at one point, like, can you imagine how good the Chiefs would be if Travis Kelce and Marcus Peters just played like I wanted them to? Or if they acted more professionally? Because it's insanely silly that we're still having these conversations about these guys. Also, Clinton has said that it oddly feels like last Christmas with the game last night, since it freaking snowed in October. Kansas weather sucks. Listen, man, I'm just happy it's not 90 degrees anymore. I am just happy it's like hoodie weather again. I'm wearing jeans. Well, I'm wearing, for the Facebook Live audience, I'm wearing extremely stretchy jeans. I don't know if you can screenshot this and
if
turn this into a liner.
If I could mark video.
Yeah,
I
I'm
would
imagining.
Do that.
I might. Like, I could do this whole show today with like 1 foot on the console and 1 foot over on my backpack.
We would use this for promotional material.
I think we should. I mean, just later on, just go back and screenshot this, and then we'll send this to, you know, like findgoodradio.com.
We need to make this like the first thing you search when you Google search almost entirely sports. It's just the image of you and just lounging out on the
just very stretchy jeans.
On the
oh, God, this
table.
Boy, this is an audio only medium for I would say 95% of the consumers of the show.
But man, that 5%'s really loving it.
That 5% is getting a show right now. Oh no! Oh no! I've been compromised. There, here we go.
I hate to tell you, but your foot is absolutely right in your face.
I'm moving it.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Now okay. The mic's in your face.
How's this? Am I giving... I feel like I'm giving birth now. I think this is like a birth-giving position.
The thing is, like, for me... for me, it's okay, because I've got the little console here in front of me. The camera, though. The camera's pointed up. It's elevated. You're kind of, you know, showing off a little bit there, buddy.
I just wanted to mention that I was wearing very stretchy pants. Because they're
that's
jeans.
Fine. You can mention it. Just don't show us.
I wanted to show everybody how stretchy my pants are. My pants are more stretchy than I am as a person.
A taxi's going to come by the studio if you keep hiking your leg like that.
Do you think I'm hailing a taxi with my flexible hamstrings?
It's getting there.
All of this was just to point out the fact that... that I'm glad that the weather is like this. We're going to have to talk about the Browns at some point very, very soon. But but Charlie/David has tweeted in that he said, who do you think will have the pleasure of losing to in the first round of the playoffs this year? I don't actually think the Chiefs will lose in the first round of the playoffs this year. I think they will lose to either the Steelers or the Patriots. And that's it. So... I think the Chiefs will win the first round game this year. I'm pretty confident in that. Let's spend one more second on the Broncos, because we can sort of revel. I'm gonna put my feet back down, I guess. I could have done the whole show like that. I could have.
It's probably a good idea.
I probably shouldn't though.
I mean, you're probably gonna cut off like blood circulation.
Yeah, I was feeling it. I was trying to feel a little bit.
Legs fall asleep.
Yeah, it's not great.
Get all that tinglies in your legs.
Right, I don't want that. But we saw last night with Trevor Siemian, we saw the folly of the Denver Broncos organization. I know we really love to discuss Hall of Famer John Elway and the fact that he is, you know, grand poobah of the Denver Broncos. But quietly, maybe not so quietly, the Broncos have had terrible choices at quarterback since John Elway has been there. They got Peyton Manning, and that covered up their wounds. But they drafted Paxton Lynch in the first round. They drafted Osweiler in the second. They tried to give Osweiler $15 million a season, but Houston ended up going up to $18 million a season. So that's when the Broncos finally said, you know what, we're out. The Broncos have made terrible quarterback choices, and it's going to keep going in that direction until they find some way to replace Trevor Siemian, and they're not going to be able to do that cheaply. So I think that there's a fun little nugget for the Chiefs fans who maybe you're feeling some hurt from the Chiefs quarterbacks of years past. You're getting a little optimistic now about Alex Smith this year and Pat Mahomes for the future. We're doing better than the Broncos are by a long, wide margin.
I mean, we are now.
Yeah, well, it's the Broncos.
I mean, how many teams actually get, like, good quarterback picks one after the other after the other?
There's usually quarterback competence to be found on good teams. The Broncos have squandered the last two seasons by trotting out truly terrible quarterbacks. That's a pretty rare situation. Bad teams with bad quarterback play, that doesn't really make me raise an eyebrow. But right now, the Broncos and the Jaguars are the two teams that are in danger of squandering good teams because of poor quarterback play. The Jags should be trading up next year to get whatever rookie they want, or trading for Alex Smith if that ends up being on the table, whatever. And the Broncos are in the same exact situation. Watching good teams lose with their poor quarterback play is kind of sad, except for whenever it's the Broncos, and then it's hilarious. Several trades have happened recently, and the thing that's happened most recently in these last couple days, something that is just still developing right now, is the trade that didn't happen. This wouldn't be the first story if it wasn't so, so funny. The Browns and Bengals, told you it was funny. The Browns and Bengals tried to get a trade together for A.J. McCarron, but failed. The details are exceedingly hilarious. These are from different reports on Twitter. The Bengals and Browns actually agreed to A.J. McCarron trade at 3:55 p.m., per source involved. Bengals approved trade to NFL. Browns did not. Grossi says that apparently the Browns were celebrating their trade and forgot to call in the deal before the deadline. The Browns disputed the proposed A.J. McCarron trade to the NFL, arguing it should be allowed, per source. NFL declined. No trade, officially, per source. That is the most Browns-Bengals thing in the history of eternity. If you asked me, hey, who's going to try to trade a draft pick for a quarterback and then do that with it? Browns and Bengals. Just stupendous. Just absolutely stupendous.
I think the NBA equivalent, the NBA equivalent would have been the Kings and the Knicks.
Yeah, I was trying to think, didn't that happen? And it was like one of them just didn't get the trade in time or something?
No, that was
the Broncos did that, I think, at one point also.
The Miami Heat, years and years ago. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Shoot. Anyway, his agent forgot to submit the paperwork in time.
Awesome.
And Miami just didn't sign him then.
Awesome.
And then they were able to use that cap space and then go get Shaq and win a title.
That's tremendous.
I can't think of that guy's name.
And frankly, I think that the best thing here for the Browns is that they didn't make the trade call in time. Because I don't know what the price would have been for A.J. McCarron, but I bet it was about the same price as what the Niners gave up for Jimmy Garoppolo. In case you missed it, the Niners gave up a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously from the Patriots. But the spin would be that the Browns couldn't get Garoppolo done, then overpaid for McCarron, a guy that we've seen even less from, a guy who couldn't get on the field ahead of Andy Dalton. I have no reason to believe that A.J. McCarron is the next hot thing. The Browns just need to draft a quarterback. Oh, they just did. They need to draft a quarterback in the first round. that they can let develop a little bit. And if you think that maybe DeShone Kizer can be that guy, then draft some pieces around him and give him a chance.
That was Anthony Carter, the guy I was thinking about. Quick revision to that. They used that cap space to get Lamar Odom, who they then traded for Shaq.
Nice. Okay, good call. I can't even imagine having to sit here today and break down the Browns giving up, let's say, a second-round pick for A.J. McCarron. Like, there's a 0% chance that A.J. McCarron would have gone to Cleveland and done anything. There's no chance. And they would have had to have paid him relatively soon also. At least with a rookie, you have some time before you have to pay him big money. Also, why would you ever think that the Browns would ever commit to their young quarterback? They gave DeShone Kizer 8 weeks before trying to trade for their next quarterback of the future. Second-round pick DeShone Kizer. It's just... it's completely nuts to me.
So here's my question as okay. the semi-ignorant and
sure.
NFL fan. Is Garoppolo actually good, or is that the, this guy's the Patriots' backup, so therefore he's good because we all think he's good because we think that the Patriots think he's good?
All right, so again, quick reset in case you missed it. The 49ers traded a second their second-round pick this year, which will probably be pick 33 or 34. They traded that pick to the Patriots yesterday for Jimmy Garoppolo, the backup in New England. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo be good for, what, two or three games whenever Brady was suspended? Then Jacoby Brissett came in, and now he's the quarterback of the Colts.
And they're awful? Horrendously awful?
Brissett has been a huge step above Scott Tolzien.
Cool.
Not the highest praise I've ever given to anybody. But yeah, they've been better. Anyway, with the Patriots, it's kind of amazing. Now, first of all, the Patriots didn't pull the wool over anybody's eyes here. I'll explain that in a second. This is not the best move that the Patriots have ever made when it comes to flipping a guy for a pick. This isn't Matt Cassel. But it is saying we have two and a half games of tape on this guy, but he's been behind Tom Brady and the Patriots seem to like him. You know what? Fine. We'll make our move here now. I don't think I would have wanted to pull that trigger if I was in the Niners' shoes. I also don't really understand doing it now. C.J. Beathard's going to start this week, apparently. Then I guess you start with Garoppolo next week. Do you want to win games this year at all anyway?
I think there was some stuff I was seeing on Twitter about how people thought that the Patriots got not enough out of this. So that was kind of why I was asking that.
The quarterback market is so hard to gauge. Because of exactly that, you get a guy hyped up like Jimmy Garoppolo, where you say, "Oh, there's gonna be a first round pick, a couple first round picks to bring this guy in." You let the quarterback market settle down a little bit. You know that the Browns and the Niners are gonna be set up to take guys first and second overall this year if they so please. Then the market evens out a little bit, and then the Niners say, "You know what? We'll go ahead and give you the second for Garoppolo now." The crazy thing is that the Niners currently project to have about $100 million in cap space this offseason, so Jimmy Garoppolo is going to get an insane contract, and then we're going to find out if he's worth it or not. The second-round pick flyer on a guy you've seen a little bit of game tape from, I get it. I understand saying, you know what, this is the place we're going to look next for our future of our franchise. But the pick and then also a presumably enormous contract coming before he shows you much of anything is pretty baffling. It's pretty hard to swallow. If I was a Niners fan, I'd be a little bit concerned. Excited for the future, sure. Concerned, extremely so. And also, now the Patriots are probably going to be bringing Brian Hoyer in to be their backup because the Niners cut Brian Hoyer after making this trade. And there's a rumor that, not even rumor, report, I guess, that Hoyer was initially in the trade, but then there was some pick reason that he wasn't supposed to, that he couldn't be, so they could just cut him. And I'm guessing the Patriots will sign him very, very soon here. And now, though, the interesting thing where I think some of the analysis has gotten a little bit lazy is you see the Patriots make a move like this, and you go, oh, the Patriots are so smart and good. Oh, they're geniuses. They made all the right moves. Garoppolo was a second-round pick in 2014, and now he's worth a second-round pick in what's going to be the 2018 draft. They did get a backup quarterback for that time that they never really needed. They needed it for four games whenever Brady got suspended. But the delay there is it was a late pick in 2014, and it'll be a very early pick in 2018. But that's like, you're moving up like 25 to 30 picks in interest for 4 years. It's not an absolute steal that the Patriots have gotten with that move. It's interesting. I'm going to be really interested to see Garoppolo in San Francisco in these next few weeks whenever he finally does get on the field there. But it worries me. If I was a Niners fan, it would really worry me that he's going to get a huge contract, and then we'll find out if he's worth it. Also, Skip Bayless said in September of this year, gut feeling, Belichick plans to make Garoppolo a starting quarterback in 2018. Trading Brissett makes it less likely he'll trade Jimmy G this year. I read that and it was funny. And then I realized it was in September of this very season. And it made it even more hilarious. Breaking news. The Patriots have traded away a backup quarterback, and Skip Bayless is terribly, terribly wrong about something. It's good to know that in this crazy world, these crazy times we live in, some things truly never change.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
All right, that being said, Charlie, what was this headline you started reading to me?
Skinny dipping in an Estonian forest, soaking in black sand near a Japanese volcano. Here's how families around the world spend vacations.
What?
With Joshua Briscoe.
But definitely my knee-jerk reaction to hearing the end of the headline was definitely,
Yeah.
What? That? No.
Families skinny dipping and risking their lives together? What?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. A report has come in that the Browns would have given up a second and a third round pick this year for A.J. McCarron. They would have gotten roasted. They would have given up what the Niners gave up for Jimmy Garoppolo, plus an additional third round pick.
I mean, they're getting roasted anyway.
True, but they would have gotten roasted and also like have had an actual reason for getting roasted. Pro Football Talk tweeted, so it looks like the Browns either accidentally or deliberately failed to finalize the McCarron trade. I'm not sure which one is worse. Cleveland Browns.
Why do you deliberately not do a trade?
It would just be to bleep over your opponent and just to try to make them annoyed with you, I guess.
That's a good idea.
I don't think, I mean, they're the division rivals, but no, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
You're also worse than them.
Yeah. It's completely bonkers. I don't get it. Ezekiel Elliott has been suspended again? Question mark? It seems like he's going to actually serve his next six-game suspension. In fact, just a few minutes ago, the judge has already denied the NFLPA's motion for a stay of her order. That was literally 10 minutes ago. And as we know, a week from today, or a week from Sunday, the Chiefs play the Cowboys in Dallas. I think they're going to have their hands full in one way or another, but it would be a whole lot easier to manage if they can do it without Ezekiel Elliott on the field for the Cowboys. Also, Jay Ajayi went to the Philadelphia Eagles today for a fourth-round pick. That was certainly a surprise. The Dolphins are out. They're Dolph out. And the Eagles are continuing to bolster their offensive weapons. They continue to be the favorites, I think, at this point in the NFC. Kelvin Benjamin moved from the Panthers to the Bills today. It was a third and a seventh rounder for Kelvin Benjamin. That was a surprising move as the Bills move away from Sammy Watkins and for Kelvin Benjamin, and the Panthers have Nothing? It's all very confusing. We'll talk about some more of that and also, I don't know, other stuff. Is that a good tease? I think that's a good tease.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I know all three quarterbacks on the Browns' active roster, and if you told me right now to give you any sort of mathematical theorem that required any amount of effort, I would fall flat on my face.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
As we were wrapping up the liner there, Beard said in my headphones, oh, that was the wrong Browns liner I meant to grab. How many Browns liners do we have?
Do you want me to grab the other one I meant to play?
Yeah, sure. Quick update that, again, apparently they were celebrating prematurely, and that's why the trade didn't go in, to give a second and a third for Adrian McCarron. Chris tweeted in and said, well, Hugh Jackson was his offensive coordinator with the Bengals, so he knew what he was getting with McCarron. That makes sense. I would feel better about that if it was anybody other than, now, anyone who's on the Browns sidelines. Hugh Jackson doesn't give me any sort of confidence in his ability to evaluate quarterbacks because he is royally bleeping up DeShone Kizer right now in that whole situation.
I misspoke. It wasn't another Browns one. It was another backup quarterback one.
Okay.
But do we want to hear that one anyway?
Yeah, let's hear it anyway.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Gonna compare Patrick Mahomes to every other team's backup quarterback. God, do I know every team's backup quarterback?
Let's find out.
Let's find out!
On 1510 AM, yeah, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
The music again, too? Why? Welcome back in. We're with you for a real long segment here. We're going with you up until 5:30, and then we're done today. Thank you, Beards. Brian Baldinger just tweeted out a video from last night's game of the Chiefs getting absolutely trounced in the defensive line. Alan Bailey was on skates, which is not something I'm used to seeing. Chris Jones couldn't get off his block, although he was moving forward. And I'm guessing it was Benny Logan in the middle, also having a really hard time just holding on to his specific patch of grass. It was a mess. Although now somebody on Twitter is actually pointing out, okay, I stand corrected. The Chiefs had two down linemen here. There were outside linebackers, and it's a weird kind of bunched formation. But as I look, it appears to be Logan in the middle. Logan or Jones, the video is terrible, and I apologize for doing this so off the cuff. But it's Jones or Logan in the middle. I can't quite tell if it's a 50, if it's a 95 or 96. And Alan Bailey on the other side, his other down lineman, just gets crushed. It's a super light package here. You've got a front line of Houston and what I think is Chris Jones and Alan Bailey and then Frank Zombo, I think, along the defensive line there. It's a really light package. There's not a lot you can do with that against the run. So you can absolutely justifiably put some of that on Bob Sutton for saying, why are you calling that with that group of dudes that you have out on defense? And you can absolutely put a lot of that on the actual guys out there executing or failing to do so. So one way or another, that's going to be something that absolutely must change. We didn't even touch on the fact that the Texans traded offensive tackle Dwayne Brown to Seattle. The Seahawks traded cornerback Jeremy Lane, a 2018 fifth-round pick, and a 2019 second-round pick to the Texans for tackle Dwayne Brown. I don't know how interested in the goings-on of the NFL the average Chiefs fan is. I know that's the predominant audience of this show. But I thought all this action, the trade deadline, was really interesting this year, especially as you see the Texans sort of say, all right, Deshaun Watson, we're giving away your most valuable offensive lineman for some defensive help. I know that Dwayne Brown's looking for a new contract and everything. That was really the main mover in the decision there to trade him away. But if I was the Texans, I think I would have wanted to give Dwayne Brown that contract and to make sure that Deshaun Watson never had to worry about his left side. But that's not what the Texans did. I find that interesting because there's some parallels that can be drawn between the Chiefs and the Texans at this point. Also, there was a small, quick story about T.Y. Hilton yesterday before the game because there was a fake tweet that went out. The Chiefs had traded for T.Y. Hilton. We figured out what happened there. There's a fake tweet And then Blair Kirkhoff, a very good reporter who is trustworthy and everything, he tweeted about it, and his tweet was misinformed. So then he took it down, and there was no T.Y. Hilton trade with the Chiefs or any other team, in case you were wondering. I was thinking about diving back into a few more like Chiefs-related topics here, but I felt like if anyone is listening to this for the Chiefs content, they probably left whenever I was doing stretchy pants. And so now I'm kind of torn. But my pants are intact because they're stretchy.
Hashtag AES out of context.
Yep, 100%. I really do like that. I really like that hashtag a lot. Occasionally, people will just tweet things we've said on this show with no context. And I've retweeted them with the hashtag AES out of context. In fact...
That's the point.
In fact...
Are we going to check it now?
I'm going to check it really quick. Searching Twitter for AES out, hashtag AES out of context. I think there are at least two. Oh, well, no results here. Without, maybe it was AES without context.
That's what it was.
Thank you, Beards. Nope, that also wasn't it. Good job by us, though, for sure. We're killing it. Was it minus context? Nope. All right. Well, Beards, you can figure it out. I have to do a show, I guess. And it was officially a conditional 2018 fourth-round pick for Jay Ajayi. It's really interesting to me how small of a price some of these veterans demand. It's why the Chiefs made that move for Reggie Ragland and then also the move for Cam Irving, even though that one doesn't seem to be working out super great and no one really knew why they made it at the time. The way that we value draft picks is so is kind of crazy. And so if you're going to be doing that, especially in a situation like trading for Jimmy Garoppolo, it, obviously if he pans out at all, that second round pick means nothing to you. The Chiefs trading a first-round pick to go get Pat Mahomes was a conversation that, they have no picks now going forward. If your quarterback works out, it does not matter. The moves that were getting made at the deadline involved some really high-profile players and relatively low price points. Beard, did you figure out the hashtag?
Almost entirely sports without context.
What are the results from that one?
Oh, you didn't tell me to do that. You told me to find out what it was.
Would you mind searching the hashtag and then giving us the examples? That doesn't feel like really an extra step, even.
There are two. They're both from you.
Yeah.
Mommy, no first lady, just a first mommy. 48 minutes of ball torture. Are we good?
I want to end the show an extra 20 minutes early today. By the way, the Kenneth Acker, Terrence Mitchell thing. Remember, last night, Kenneth Acker got the start over Terrence Mitchell. And whenever he was asked about it, Andy Reid said, "Sometimes young players need to take a step back to take a step forward." And I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's a disciplinary thing, if that's saying that he just felt like Mitchell would be somehow inspired by the benching and then play better next week if he felt like he just needed, like, a week off. It was really weird, though. Kenneth Acker had played 14 defensive snaps this year, and Terrence Mitchell had played 474. It was just not in any way whatsoever a move that I expected. In any way a move that I thought would be made against Trevor Siemian. And I don't know, this is really conspiratorial. Is there any chance that the Andy Reid and the Chiefs thought, you know what? This is going to be the best time to give Mitchell a little bit of a chance to do more watching than playing because they're going up against Trevor Siemian and he's not going to do anything to us no matter who we put out there. I don't know. I don't really love that line of thinking either. Steven Nelson coming back was obviously huge, and I was thrilled for that, and I continue to be thrilled that he's back. I would like to see Terrence Mitchell return to play beside Steven Nelson. Also, there was a route tree, kind of a route chart for Demaryius Thomas last night, and I'm not sure if he ran. I think it was just charting the routes that ended up getting him a target and then what the result of that was, and he was not even targeted on Marcus Peters' side of the field. I'm not even sure how many routes he ran up against Marcus Peters. It's phenomenal how obvious it is that teams find the number one receiver and then put him opposite Marcus Peters. Now, it opens up that conversation again that you can have of, should Marcus Peters be switching sides? Should he be shadowing a number one receiver? It would make a lot of sense against a team like the Broncos last night, especially. No Emmanuel Sanders. It's just Demaryius Thomas. That was all that the Broncos had to offer last night. Their number one receiver was Demaryius Thomas, and their second was Benny Fowler with two receptions for 35 yards, which actually is very similar to how the Chiefs were playing last night. But the Broncos at least spread the ball around to a lot of different pass catchers. In fact, Thomas, Fowler, Derby, Green, Latimer, Booker, Herman, Taylor, Anderson, Charles, Isaiah McKenzie. Of the 36 passes that Trevor Siemian threw, they were targeting 11 different pass catchers. Of his 19 completions, they went to 10 different pass catchers. That's what happens whenever you only have one option, and the one option gets dealt with. So especially against a team like that, it wouldn't bother me one bit to see Peters shadowing the best corner or the best receiver. Next week against Dez Bryant, it wouldn't bother me one bit to see Marcus Peters shadowing Dez Bryant all day. But here's the thing that makes this impossible, where eventually this conversation becomes kind of a moot point. I have no idea if he can. I have no idea why he doesn't. If it's just simply a Bob Sutton scheme over everything set up and just Bob Sutton being stubborn, then I think I'm about ready to see that get busted. If Marcus Peters is just incredibly comfortable on his single side of the field, which is on the left side of the defense, the right side of the offensive line, because somebody was tweeting yesterday and said, if you were an offense going up against the Chiefs, there would be no reason to even like consider going to your right, because Justin Houston is there, Marcus Peters is there. That side of the field is irrelevant to you, which is a pretty amazing thing that the Chiefs have established. But if Peters can shadow number one receiver, and I think he probably could, I'm at a point of being very open to that idea. Beards, you've been smirking and looking at your phone, and I'm curious as to why.
It's something I'll show you during the break. It's not a good on-air thing.
We don't have a break, though.
Or after the show, whatever.
After the show? What do you mean it's not a good on? Give me some hints here, please.
Love it hard, Joe.
Okay. Can you not just tell me? Okay. Do you have Halloween plans tonight as we interview Beards?
Yes, work here.
Oh, how long are you here?
Until this baseball game's over.
Oh, God.
Yep. Well, better not go 5 hours again.
Well, we've seen the World Series games go 2.5 hours, and we've seen them go 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
So
I guess which one I was here for.
That's a good point. Has Thor Ragnarok been getting good reviews? There's a trailer on my screen right now, and I'm not... It's Clay Matthews as Thor, and it's kind of funny. But I'm not...
You're not on the hype train?
I'll probably see it, but I'm not, like, super stoked about superhero movies. The Black Panther movie looked really cool. That trailer was neat. I'm kind of interested by Justice League, I guess.
96% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.6 out of 10 average for Thor.
Really?
Yep.
Out of how many critic reviews?
128
critic reviews, and it's 96%. Okay. All right. I'll probably see it then. That is shocking, though. I don't know how the second Thor movie did on Rotten Tomatoes. I was not a fan.
It wasn't great.
Which makes this even more surprising to me.
I mean, it was okay.
Also, Geostorm has stormed into the box office with a 15%.
Good pun.
It is also, thank you, it's also the third highest grossing movie this week. Ooh. I get it, it's Halloween-y. Here are the top five grossing movies this week.
Do you want the Thor 2?
Yeah, just a second.
Real quick, okay.
Here's the top of the box office right now, top five. Jigsaw, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, Madea Halloween. Madea? Is it Madea? I've never seen one of them.
Madea.
Okay.
I think. I haven't seen them either.
Geostorm, Happy Death Day, Blade Runner 2049.
That is rough.
What did you get from Thor 2?
66%, 6.2 out of 10, 247 reviews.
What was the percentage again?
66.
That seems too high. Also, I saw this trailer for this movie. So I guess it's pronounced Suburbicon. Suburbicon? I don't know. But it's directed by Clooney. That's interesting. It's a Matt Damon movie where he appears to be some sort of like serial killer.
Ooh.
In the suburbs. I don't know. Maybe not.
I love Matt Damon.
Well, yeah, so.
Oh, no.
It's gotten crushed.
I just saw that.
It's getting absolutely destroyed. They call it a bad satire, essentially.
Ugh. Never mind.
And it has 26% from critics and 24% from viewers, and that makes me sad because I saw the trailer on mute, and it was interesting. You've got to go see it, man. You've got to stop bleeping around and go see it. Go do that tonight. Get off work tonight and then go see it. I dare you.
It's going to be kind of hard because, you know, baseball.
It's got to be open. There's got to be a midnight showing of it on Halloween somewhere. That's got to be available. Go home, go to your basement, turn off all the lights, be by yourself, stream it illegally on the internet, and watch it. The terrifying clown movie.
What now? Who's on first?
It was really good. And I would watch it again tonight, but I think we have like, how many episodes of Stranger Things were there?
Nine?
Oh, God, nine? Really?
Yeah.
We're only three episodes in. I don't really want to watch six episodes of Stranger Things.
Six is a lot.
It feels like a lot.
Stop after episode six then.
That would make sense. That's what I would like to do.
Stop after six.
We stopped it for three, and it was good. I want to stop after six and then watch the rest of them some of the time. But when are we going to watch? It's a spooky movie or a spooky series. I kind of wanted to watch the rest, like the end, on Halloween. But the Chiefs having Monday Night Football really screwed that one up. I'm afraid to check my Twitter currently. Oh, it's just people saying that the Browns suck. It's funny, Mike Ryan, the producer of the Lebatard Show, just said, congratulations to AJ McCarron. Given recent history, you'll probably end up being an all-pro in the very near future. It is amazing that for all of the Browns, like, haunting around them, whenever they have, they just traded back for their Deshaun Watson pick, and they just passed on Carson Wentz. Now they have essentially, like, confirmed that they are passing on AJ McCarron. Like, that is, AJ McCarron is now in the Browns quarterback lore. But the most important thing about being in the Browns quarterback lore is to be one of the quarterbacks that they pass on. It's also unbelievably amazing that the Browns simply failed to notify the league before the deadline passed. Also, was it really so difficult for them to fold to give up a third-round pick along with their second that they had to wait until 3:55? Like,
gotta pop that champagne!
Oh, man. I don't know how one organization with so many different pieces over so many years can be so consistently inept.
New York Knicks, Sacramento Kings.
And, like, the Royals eventually got good. The Astros eventually got good. The Phillies were good a while ago. Like, I'm trying to think of the worst baseball. There's not. The Browns and the Knicks in the camp. Well, the Knicks are still, like, an important franchise.
The Knicks have had a couple years of where they were 40, 50 wins. But, no, the Kings are, like, the destitute deep darkness of the NBA.
The Kings and the Browns should probably just be thrown into the ocean.
Or just, like, move them. It feels like those towns are cursed. Because, remember, the Kings used to be in Kansas City.
Right, that's a good point. They still have some of that stench. It's just, it's amazing. Seth Kizer is currently talking about Brian Baldinger's video that I mentioned a little bit earlier. Seth says, Baldy's recognizing a longstanding issue with what the Chiefs do. Having only two down defensive linemen is incredibly tough on the run defense. It's a scheme thing that the Chiefs keep rolling with. You get a lot of, yesterday it was Frank Zombo, some other days it's Dee Ford, whatever. You leave your guys out there with Daniel Sorensen instead of Benny Logan or Chris Jones on the field. That's going to cost you. You want to play Daniel Sorensen as a deep linebacker kind of thing? Fine. Who are you taking off the field when you do that? One of your big defensive linemen. Obviously, the problems will come. Also, John Lynch has said, quote, "We believe very much Jimmy Garoppolo will be the quarterback of the future, our quarterback of the future." Keane Fahey points out, so much so that they waited until the last moment before the trade deadline and added three other quarterbacks in the offseason before him. It's a fair point. Like, they drafted C.J. Beathard this year.
I mean, like, that's still in the same vein of the Jamal Charles stuff where it's like, you know, you kind of have to say that. It's like if they would have gone out to that press conference and said, you know, we picked this guy. We don't think he's that great.
No, for sure.
But I mean, we kind of had to do the deal. That wouldn't have gone over that well.
But so this is the thing, though. C.J. Beathard was a third-round pick this year.
I mean, we just traded for this bum.
Right.
You know, he'll be okay.
That would be terribly refreshing.
We'll be mediocrely important.
But so that's the thing. They really didn't have to make this trade. They're going to have the number one or two overall pick this year, or they were going to before Garoppolo. And they could have used that on, I guess, what, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, I guess those, Lamar Jackson? I don't know.
That's way beyond my knowledge of
expertise. Yeah, me too, obviously. Did you hear the timidity in which I said that? I just Googled Lamar Jackson to make sure I got his name right.
I knew Lamar Jackson. I don't know the other guys.
I was afraid that I might have just accidentally made someone name like Lamar Johnson, Lamar Jackson. I'm good, though. They have options. This quarterback class has options. Somebody pointed out on Twitter earlier, though, that these teams are now in a collective chorus saying, we don't like the quarterback incoming draft class. It's going to be a disaster. That's just sort of coming through in a chorus. Because the Browns and the Niners, the two teams at the top of this draft, the Niners just made a move, and the Browns just tried to and only weren't able to due to their own incompetence. Which is truly amazing. And also predictable. Also, how funny is it to say the phrase, like, boy, the Browns would kill to be as stable to quarterback position as the Chiefs are. But it's true. They've got their guy for now. They've got their guy for the future. We don't know exactly when that transition is coming, but it's relatively stable. That's pretty amazing. Also, as we were getting up to the trade deadline today, there was some talk that if the Chiefs were going to try to make a move for a veteran of some sort, Vontae Davis or T.Y. Hilton or whatever, that it would have to probably take an Alex Smith contract restructuring to make that happen. And for anyone to restructure their contract, they're going to need more long-term assurance. Everything gets converted to bonus money, and it's all kind of monopoly money at this point to me, frankly. Like, I don't really know what's going on. But to do your very best to keep up with the swirling of what the NFL salary cap actually means and what it actually doesn't mean, the Chiefs, for what it's worth, made no moves today, which means no contract restructuring today, and nothing is new. There's no news to report. I am, however, terribly interested in what comes next. I'm terribly interested in how the Chiefs continue to evaluate Alex Smith and then Pat Mahomes and their own organization, and how what we're seeing from Deshaun Watson, how that might affect what the Chiefs are looking at. And, you know, we're also seeing kind of the inverse from Mitch Trubisky right now. One thing that I was thinking about earlier that I know isn't necessarily true, because the Chiefs have brought in, you know, like Brody Croyle. Well, that actually doesn't really even count. So maybe this theory lives. If you bring in top-of-the-line, talented quarterbacks into a good situation, they're going to at least be some measure of successful. I believe that pretty convincingly. If you would have put Deshaun Watson in Cleveland, he would have made a few plays, but I think he would have looked a whole lot worse. You put Mitch Trubisky in Houston, he wouldn't look as good as Deshaun Watson does, but he would be making plays. If Pat Mahomes is in Houston right now, I think he would look like Deshaun Watson does right now. Give or take here or there. It's not a hard and fast rule, but it's just something that I've been kind of doing some thinking about. It makes me optimistic because I think the Chiefs are in a really good spot. They've been in a really good spot for making Alex Smith the best he can be, and I think that's going to continue into the future, whenever that is. We're out here today 30 minutes earlier than usual because we have KU stuff over here. Is that right? We'll be back tomorrow, though, from 4 to 6 for a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday as Charlie, woo, Beards and I, all three of us, make a show out of it. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.